More of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Long hours at the office can put a real stress on any relationship, but especially marriage. What happens, though, when a couple puts in long hours in the same job, or in the case of contributor Dave Kozlowski and his wife Sandy Rodens, literally the same field?
Kozlowski and Rodens own and operate the organic produce farm Pine Hole Gardens in Oak Creek. Neither of them were born into farming, but instead decided to pursue the physically demanding and rewarding profession together in their 40s.
Farmers actually have among the lowest divorce rates as a group compared to other professions, and Kozlowski believes farmers can teach other married couples a thing or two about what helps make a relationship strong.
Kozlowski spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski about not just romance on the farm, but the romance of the profession.
There is some grain of truth to that romantic image of farming. Take a look at the farmer to begin with. We go into this profession because we love it. I don't know too many farmers that are making oodles of money, and there's also not a lot of prestige in the job. So we go into it out of love of the work, out of willingness to put up with long hours and little pay, to be our own boss. We tend to like that. So we're happier in our work. We also tend to, I think, have partners or spouses who share our interest in the work as well. That is usually how farmers meet, is because of their partners, their spouses share their interest in their work. That, to me, seems like a good basis for a successful marriage. Now, farming is also an extremely stressful business, as others are as well. But we have to work with one variable, I think, that most entrepreneurs and other businesses perhaps don't have to, or at least not as directly, and that's the weather, which can directly affect our income and our work and can be very stressful. So if there isn't that love of the position or love of the profession between both people in the partnership, there could be problems along the way. And unless you're of the kind where you have a marriage that is one that grows up as opposed to grows apart, there's going to be problems. But in farming, my experience anyways is that a divorce happens so rarely that it's actually shocking that it happens. That's not to say that it doesn't. Farmers on average have a relatively low divorce rate compared to others, not quite as low as clergy.
Right.
But we're getting down there, and certainly not as high as bartenders, which is the highest rate of divorce. But I think because there's this willingness to work together with the two partners, and my wife likes to point out a division of labor generally, and not always according to gender stereotypes, but there is generally a division of labor because there's a shortage of labor on farms. And so therefore, we have to sort of pick where our strengths are and work with those. And I think that creates a team effort in the marriage, and that helps the marriage succeed, despite all the stress, despite the weather, despite low markets, despite the fact that you're not making money. I think farm couples in general have a lot to tell people about in terms of healthy relationships.
Yeah, so with you and your wife, Sandy, how do you strike that balance? You mentioned in previous interviews, Sandy is really in charge of finances and the books, and that's one of her strengths. So what other roles do you guys allocate to each other?
Right now, Sandy's in the process of buying all our seed for the year. So she decides on the varieties that we're going to plant. We generally confer on what things we're going to plant, and then she'll look for the varieties. And that is something we decided from the get-go. Although I had a real strong interest in working with the catalogs and the seed buying, I just thought, let her do it. She likes to do it, and I have other things to do. I've got equipment to repair. So she does the books. She does all the seed buying. She works with all the worker shares. She has that sort of management responsibility there. She does a lot of the greenhouse work, the planting of the transplants, the organ. We all help with that, but she sort of organizes that effort. I, on the other hand, am sort of the chief grunt. So I do the field work, equipment repair, building repair. I do work probably more closely with the employees than with the worker shares.
With both of you representing your business, you know, whether you or the two of you go out together to either interact with customers at your stand in front of your house or your CSA program or even going to restaurants for supply, whether you're together or especially if you're separate representing your farm, what is it that you are trying to maintain, you know, to consistently represent to everyone you interact with about yourself as a couple and then in turn your farm?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about that. What do we represent? And that's really important.
Yeah.
So I should give that some thought. It's really important because the business that we're in, and not just a CSA program, but really anybody who's in the business of producing food and selling it directly, is in a very public business. So you've got to like people, and you got to want to work with people. And when you're doing that, you are indeed representing your business. So we certainly want to be and try to be as honest as possible, because I think that's important. We certainly want to also include everybody. We recognize that sometimes customers could be having a bad day. We don't want to add to that. In many ways, we want to help them. And so you have to be extra personable sometimes. And I think that represents, I hope, the care that we have for the land and for the produce that we grow. You want to be a part of your community, and you want to represent yourself as openly and honestly to your community as possible. And that suggests that you're not hiding anything, and that suggests that you're running a first-rate operation. We don't want to look stealthily. We don't want to look like we're hiding something. So I think being honest, being open, answering questions as honestly as you can, being personable, I think both of us do that as much as we can, whenever we can, because we know we aren't just Dave Kozlowski and Sandra Rudenz. We are Pinehold. Want to represent the best because that's what we do for a living. It's our life.
Right. You know, you could argue that both you and Sandy bring out the best and hold each other accountable in your relationship, both as business partners and in the marriage. But one thing that did spike up divorce rates over the subsequent 40 years, there was a Midwest farm crisis in the 1980s. So can you go into a little bit of what happened there and just how those factors added increased stressors to add to those divorce rates? And there's also a suicide rate hike with farmers as well. So, you know, as you mentioned, it's up to the weather. It's up to things outside of your control to maintain your business. So what happened in the 1980s with
that? Yeah, without going into a long history.
Yeah.
A
brief synopsis.
Basically, farmers went into a lot of debt. They were encouraged to farm fence row to fence row by the Ag Secretary Robots. And so they bought a lot of big equipment. They bought extra land. They went into a lot of debt. And then there was a combined double whammy of high fuel prices and low commodity prices, which caused a lot of these farms to go bankrupt. And try as they might, they couldn't pull themselves out of it. Year after year, they would go deeper in debt, trying to pull themselves out, hoping for the next year to be a good crop year, but it wasn't happening in the 80s. So there were a lot of foreclosures. There were a lot of farm auctions. Particularly farmers back then, so many of them were owning farms that were owned by generations of families. When you are the generation that has to sell the farm and give it up, that's an extraordinarily mortal blow to your psyche. And I think that's why we saw divorce rates go up. Even though the couples may have shared in the risk and the love of the operation, some people just couldn't handle it. And you see divorce rates go up, and you see suicide rates really went up during that time. By the way, suicide rates among farmers continues to be a problem, particularly internationally. Particularly small farmers under enormous pressure to produce or get pushed out. And so I don't know the data, but I've seen it enough in the trade publications anecdotally that suggest to me that it's a big problem, particularly in third world countries.
Yeah, the most recent data I was able to find was from Mental Health Daily that listed suicide rates among farmers to be 1.32 times more likely than the average person, and that's of 2010, 2011. One point you mentioned was that many farmers inherit their land, the business. You and Sandy did not go about this, so you have a unique perspective from that, but do you know of other farmers who are working their family land? And has that strained in modern times as more schooling and career options become available that perhaps their children aren't as interested in keeping the farm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, I know several farms where even if the children were interested in continuing to farm, oftentimes of the ones that I know, the farmer discouraged them because the market was so iffy, because the profit margin is so low, because the work is so long and hard and dangerous. There are so many other options for farm kids to go into other occupations that would be safer and possibly more lucrative that they often discourage their children from going into it.
But I imagine that's also demoralizing for both parents and kids.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard on the entire family, especially when you have a child that does express an interest in it, but you're suggesting that they don't do it. Now, how often do the parents say, no, you can't do it when somebody shows an interest? I don't know that they're necessarily that definitive about it, but I can't say for sure. I don't.
Right.
I'm not a fly in the wall in these homes, so I don't know. But I do know that particularly in more of the commodity fields and in like dairy, for instance, it's a tough business. And right now, dairy prices are pretty low. And it's hard for dairy families to allow their children to go into this business when they don't see much of a future in it for them. Mm-hmm. So in our side of the business, in the produce side of the business, there's more optimism. And you see more children wanting to take over the family's business. There's more optimism, but it's still not a completely rosy field. There isn't a lot of money, but in our business, there seems to be a lot more interest in the work. And maybe it's because of the direct connection with the communities that you're working with. Whereas if you're a commodity farmer, you're working with, you know, Chicago Board of Trade in Chicago. You're not working with your neighbors and other people in the community. So I see more optimism among the produce side of things. I know of a number of farms where the children, it looks like the children are stepping into the place to take over the farms for their parents. I can't say that I know too many on the dairy or commodity side where that's the case.
You mentioned with family interest in the produce farming or even with your organic farming, you establish that credibility through the love of the work, working the land, building those relationships with the community, whereas farming could often seem like an isolated career, especially to people who live in the city. You know, they just imagine, okay, farms are way out where, but, you know, really I can come and visit you in 20 minutes, you know, if I want to. But so it's not as isolated either geographic or socially, and you're establishing that credibility. So on all fronts with your personal farm, your relationship with Sandy, is that what keeps that motivation going, that hard work ethic, all these factors that hold you accountable year-round? You guys are always thinking about what's coming next.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Community support, that interaction with our customers, that is the fuel that keeps us going. I mean, I could have the greatest market sales in a week and restaurant sales in a week, but the thing that really motivates me is when a family comes and a child asks for our carrots and right in front of me eats it. And I've seen children go out to the field and grab a head of broccoli and start to bite into it on while it was still in. That kind of reaction to what we do is way more important to us than the money we make. We need to make money. We have bills like everybody else, but that's not what really motivates us. It's being able to work with the community, it's having the opportunity to deliver a product that we are not only proud of, but that somebody really wants.
For our last question here, is there any word of advice or main lesson you've learned through your marriage and business relationship with Sandy that you can pass on to other couples who are married that aren't in farming? You know, it's a good rule of thumb that you've learned.
Yeah. Forgive. And patience. It's amazing how much you learn as a couple the longer you stay married about each other and how important it is to know that. It seems like when you first meet, there's such an infatuation with each other that we can overlook the shortcomings. Once you're married, you can't overlook those shortcomings anymore. So you need to just accept them. You need to understand why you got married in the first place and be patient. That's all I can think of.
Good lesson to keep in mind, especially from a farmer. I'm sure you have lots of patience now.
We do.
Yes. All right, Dave. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Audrey.
Contributor Dave Kozlowski and his wife Sandy Rodens own and operate Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek. He spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.